Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. So now we're going to have some discussion on book distribution. First, we're going to read from the
Yo.
A little too loud. Anybody know how to turn that down? Okay. So we're going to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the Antya Leela, which is about book distribution. This is Antya Leela, Chapter 3, Text 51. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Vaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Vaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Jai
Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda.
Jai Vaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai
Jai Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda. Jai Vaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Vaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So this is Lord Chaitanya speaking. Iha Sabhara Kon Mate Hai Vaini Star Tahara Hetu Na Dekhiya E Nruga Apar. How will these Yavanas be delivered? To my great unhappiness, I do not see any way. Purport, this verse reveals the significance of Lord Chaitanya's appearance as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of all the fallen souls. Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings, Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. O my Lord, you have appeared just to deliver all the fallen souls. Most sama Patita Pavana Paivetar. And among all the fallen souls, I am the lowest. How sweet Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always thinking about the deliverance of the fallen souls is shown by the statement, E dukkha apar. It is my great unhappiness. This statement indicates that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, is always very unhappy to see the fallen souls of the material world. Therefore, he himself comes as he is, or he comes as a devotee in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver the love of Krishna directly to the fallen souls. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Padayate. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that he not only gives knowledge of Krishna, but by his practical activities teaches everyone how to love Krishna. Krishna Prema Pradayate. There's a little bit more here, but I'll stop there and speak and then we'll get some more. Om Gyanata Varanda Shyav Gyananjana Salake Chakshu Mulitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Mukham Gurtuva Chavan Bhangam Nama Ete Gurinda Tripata Laham Bande Shri Guru Mindari Vanchikapati Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Devita Paridhanam Bhavani Vyavaishnavi Yoga Vorma Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sulasti Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada mentions here in the purport that Lord Chaitanya is feeling great unhappiness to see the suffering or the unhappiness of the conditioned souls. And we're trying to be servants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we help him to become free of this anxiety that Lord Chaitanya has, then we become very dear to him. He says here, how will they, Yavnas, be delivered? He's in anxiety. He wants to see them happy again. He's the father of all the divinities. So naturally, he wants to see his sons and daughters happy again. They're in Maya. They don't know that they're suffering. Prabhupada used to say that in the hospital a man may be in a very uncomfortable situation, broken, you know, arm, broken leg, he's got his arm up here on a stretcher, he's got a leg up there, you know, his neck's in a cast, and someone comes in and says, so, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. So this is Maya. People don't know that they're suffering. So, and people don't come up to us and say, hey, I'm suffering, can you help me out? No. People think everything's okay. It's all right. So we have to convince them that they're suffering. I remember I was at a university once, I was explaining this point, that everybody's suffering. One student said, I'm not suffering. I don't suffer. I said, oh, you never get headaches? He said, but everybody gets headaches. I said, that's the point. Everybody suffers. Yes. Some people suffer less, and some people more. Some people just get headaches, and some people get a lot more suffering. But everybody's suffering to some degree. So, by our going out and trying to help them become free of their suffering, we become quickly recognized by Krishna. Krishna is very pleased by this. So it's very important. I mean, it's not an easy thing to go out and try to convince people to take a book, to convince people that they're actually suffering. Also, that's not easy. But the difficulty that we undergo in trying to convince people to take a book, to convince them to take up Krishna consciousness, this is the price we pay for pure devotional service. This difficulty. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, my greatest happiness is the difficulty I undergo in your devotional service. Very deep statement there. My greatest happiness is the difficulty I undergo in your devotional service. Why is that his greatest happiness? Because when there's difficulty, then a sincere person naturally takes shelter of God. Some people don't. Some people just suffer and they don't take shelter of God. Those are the insincere ones. But devotees are generally sincere. So when there's some difficulty, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is my greatest happiness because this brings me closer to you. And his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he takes it even further. He says, God's greatest gift is the misery that one experiences in the material world. Interesting. Because it gives impetus to get out. Any intelligent person will think, why am I suffering better? I'm trying to figure some way to get out of here. Intelligent person. So therefore he says it's the greatest gift. If things are nice and comfortable, then what impetus is there to get out? Why? Why get out? There's some places we preach to, or we preach in the West. You know, things are you know, kind of okay. You know, you go to some of these European countries, Holland, or also New Zealand, where people don't have so much difficulty. You know, economy's good. You know, even the government gives them so much money if they're not doing good. So if we're preaching to them, you know, this material world is a place of suffering, you know, we should try to get out. Sometimes they feel sorry for the devotee. Oh, he's having a hard time, you know, poor guy. Because they don't experience that suffering. So some people don't experience that, so there's no impetus to get out. But this difficulty is very good. So when we go out on Sankirtan, it's a little difficult. Not everybody's taking. You know, there's rejection you have to experience. False ego doesn't like it. The soul likes it. Actually, it's good. It's purifying. It's like sometimes we go on a sankirtan and it's a difficult day. Not many people take books. So sankirtan devotee gets back and devotees ask him, "So how was it out there?" And devotees say, "Well, it was one of those purifying days." So when it's difficult, that's good. That means it's purifying. Yeah. Very good. It's cleansing. It's like one of these workers that works in the city, you know, they go out and sometimes they're working very hard, you know, on the street or something. They get back and they're real sweaty and just, you know, smelly. They take a shower and they feel so much better, fresh. You know, so we have all this crud around, all this sweat and grime around the soul. So when we go out on sankirtan, it's like we're taking a spiritual shower. We're taking a transcendental shower. We're cleansing the soul when we engage in austerities for the pleasure of Krishna. Especially this glorious activity of book distribution. Krishna is very pleased. So he cleanses the soul. We get this recognition. Because Krishna, he doesn't like people who suffer. He is the one that can inspire people to become clean, to come to the light again. Yeah. The Bhagavad Gita, he gives us the Bhagavad Gita. He comes and he gives so much information. So he comes to spread the light, yeah. Just like in that Back to Godhead magazine in the far right corner, that we have the Srimad Bhagavatam, shining light into Kali Yuga, Kali Yugites. So this material world, it's a dark place. And Krishna comes to lighten it up. There's a statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nehe yat karma dharmaya naviragaya kapate nitirtapada sevaya jivan rapitmatovisaha. He says if one's work does not bring one to dharma, if one's dharma does not bring one to renunciation, and if one's renunciation does not bring one to pure devotional service, then one is considered to be dead, although breathing. So, in other words, there's a lot of people that are dead on this planet, the land of the living dead. They appear to be alive, but there's no devotion, so they're practically dead. But they can come alive again by coming in contact with this knowledge. The soul can wake up. Just like we're all sleeping, we're all dead, practically, engaging in so many sinful activities. Does anybody have a throat lozenger? I think. Okay, I'll drink, maybe I'll be all right. So when we're distributing these books, we're giving people a chance to come alive again. And real living is devotional service. As long as one is not engaged in devotional service, then one is considered to be sleeping or dead. So this book distribution is a great opportunity for people to wake up, to advance in spiritual life, to understand who they are. They don't even understand that they're the soul within. People are absorbed in this bodily conception of life. So the more we go out and distribute books, the more people are able to understand who they are. And we're also able to understand who we are, because this book distribution is very purifying, like I mentioned. Actually, this book distribution is a festival for the soul. Everybody likes festivals. So this book distribution is such a nice activity. The soul is so happy to be engaged in this activity, because Krishna is so pleased. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjun, he didn't want to fight, right? It was just like so painful for him. Just the thought of approaching and trying to kill his teacher, his guru, his relatives. But then Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna convinced him. Nasta moha smriti ramda krishi vachanamda. Arjuna said, now my illusion is gone. Nasta moha smriti ramda. And my memory of you has awoken. And now I'm ready to act as you have desired me to act. I'm going to fight. So when we finish reading the Bhagavad Gita, this is the conclusion we should have. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to fight Maya. Thank you very much. I'm ready to fight this Maya. And do as you want me to do. What does Krishna want? He says in the Bhagavad Gita, also at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Yaidam Paramam Bhujam Mad Bhakti Suvarasati, that anyone who teaches this Bhagavad Gita is most dear to me, and there'll never be anyone more dear to me than that person. So Krishna, he's revealing his heart here, actually. You know, loving exchanges are revealing one's feeling, one's mind. Krishna's revealing his heart. This is very dear to Krishna. And he even goes as far to say, there's no one more dear to me than that person who is distributing this knowledge. So that's a very deep statement there, a very powerful statement by God. So we all want to become devotees of Krishna, become, you know, dear to Krishna. It's stated in by Krishna himself that I am within my devotee's heart, the devotee is within my heart. I don't know anyone but my devotee, and the devotee doesn't know anyone but me. So we want Krishna to be in our heart, we want to be in Krishna's heart, right? We want to have a very close relationship with Krishna like that. So he's explaining how that's possible. You do this activity, have book distribution, and you become very, very dear to Krishna. So auspicious. So, of course, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice on our part to go out and try to convince people. But it's not a big sacrifice. I mean, what is the sacrifice? We go out and you get some rejection. Some people say no, not interested. All right, not a big deal. Sometimes it gets hot here. You don't have to worry about the cold. You're lucky here. People in other parts of the world right now, they're distributing books and it's, you know, like 20 below zero. I can't imagine how cold it is. So the austerity here, it gets a little hot. We got some rain. Not that big. But the benefit that the people derive from our going out and distributing books is huge. Our sacrifice is not very much. Little sacrifice, go out and, you know, do a little austerity. But when we distribute a book to somebody, that's a huge benefit for the people that get the book. Because for millions of lifetimes, they haven't heard about Krishna. And now they're getting a chance to hear about Krishna. That's a huge benefit. Not only are they getting a chance to hear about Krishna, they can actually become a devotee. So it's when a devotee approaches someone to give them a book, this moment that they're approaching, this is actually the most important moment in this life. Many lives, actually. It's a very, very important moment. So therefore, we have to be very conscientious, and be conscious of this important activity of book distribution. And to convince them, we have to be strong. There's achar, and prachara. Achar means our sadhana, bhakti. We have to hear regularly. Srila Prabhupada was speaking to some book distributors in Germany, and he asked them, "Are you reading the books?" And they replied, "Well, Prabhupada, we're so busy, it's so hard to find time to read." And Prabhupada was very upset. He said, "Well, then what is the use?" He was so upset. Because he knows if you don't read the books, then where is the Shakti going to come? How are you going to remain strong? So one time he said, we should read the books minimum 2 hours. Another time he said 1 hour. Another time he said you could read 24 hours a day. So hearing is very important. Many times devotees ask me, how are you inspired to distribute books? And I tell them, I read the books. Prabhupada's books are very, very inspiring. Especially the Bhagavad Gita. I read the Bhagavad Gita every day that I go out and book distribute. Because it's so inspiring. The Bhagavad Gita quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said in one lecture that there is no literature throughout the world as important as the Srimad Bhagavatam. Every word is for the benefit of human society. They just read one word, it will benefit so much. And there's a statement also in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to go out and try to relieve the suffering of the people in general. This is the highest method of worshipping Krishna. He's the best pujari, in other words. Because not many people here in Kuala Lumpur come to see the deity. Not many people, right? But these books are actually none different than Krishna. So when we go out on book distribution, we're bringing Krishna to the people. So they're able to benefit. Very few will come here. The devotee, out of compassion, he goes out to the people and gives them the deity. Some Sankirtan devotees, they wanted to put deities in their Sankirtan vehicle. And Prabhupada said, not necessary, you just worship the books. The books are not different than the deities. Yeah. So we're bringing the deity to the people. We're very, very pleasing to Krishna by this activity, because people are becoming free of their suffering. Just like when Parikshit Maharaj, when he heard from Sukadeva Goswami about the hellish planets and how the living entities, they have to suffer so much in the heavenly planets, he asked Sukadeva Goswami, well, how can they avoid going to these hellish planets? So this is a devotee. He heard of all the suffering that the sinful people have to undergo. He was concerned, how can they become free of this? So this is a devotee's concern. How people can become free of this suffering, of anxiety. How to get out of this kumta. So we have to explain to them that their spirit soul, that they're part and parcel of Krishna, that this place is of suffering, the place of suffering. And it's a little difficult, but that's good. Everybody is doing austerity, even the karmas here, they work so hard. And I don't know about here, but in America they have these workaholics, they have two jobs. You know, they're working like 16 hours a day, working so hard. Sacrifice. Everybody's doing some sacrifice. But this difficulty, though, it gives some impetus to get out. I'll give you an example. Imagine there's a well in the field, and one man, he's walking through this field, and he falls into this well. And as he's falling, he catches onto a rope. Fortunately, there's a rope there. He's almost to the bottom, but he caught onto this rope. He got this rope hard. Now, generally, especially us men here, we know it's not easy to climb up a rope. We've all tried, right? It's not easy. The body's heavy. Generally, the arms aren't that strong if you're not a weightlifter or something. It's not easy. But in this well, there's water, right? And in that water, there's a crocodile. Okay, so you see the situation. The man's hanging on the rope. There's a crocodile in the water, and the water happens to be rising. Okay, that's a problem. Because if the water is rising, the crocodile is rising also. And he's hanging on the rope. So like I said, generally it's hard to climb up a rope, but if you have an alligator coming towards you, it becomes very easy. No problem. You zip right up there, yeah? Because the adrenaline starts flowing. It's a necessity, right? So the difficulty that we undergo, it gives impetus to get out of this world. So it's good. It's a blessing in disguise. So a preacher, he voluntarily accepts difficulty for the cause of spreading Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, he said, when we're on book distribution, we have Krishna's book in our hand, and we're trying to convince people to take a book about Krishna. So this is actually, Prabhupada said, this is samadhi, one purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, you have Krishna in your hand, you're trying to give Krishna to the people, so this is samadhi. This is a special mercy of Krishna. But again, to be able to do that, we have to be very strict in our Krishna consciousness. We have to have very good sadhana. So Lord Chaitanya, he wants this knowledge distributed. And by distributing these books, we get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Actually, if we want to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, first we have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. But to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we have to approach the Jagais and Marais. Because this is what Lord Nityananda was doing. So compassionate. Him and, who was it, Haridas Thakur. They were the first traveling Sankirtan team, door to door. And what were they saying? Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Kora Krishna Siksha. He was telling the people, chant the name of Krishna, worship Krishna, follow the instructions of Krishna. So Lord Nityananda was going door to door. Thank you. He was preaching Krishna consciousness. So he is the example, right? So we have a very good example there. God himself was going door to door. And actually Lord Chaitanya, he instructed Lord Nityananda, you go out and preach. So here we have God instructing God to go out and preach. So we also should follow this instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we'll see how we will benefit so much by going out and trying to help people. Because devotees, they're not satisfied with their own advancement. There's a Bhajananandi and there's a Gostinandi. The Bhajananandi, he's interested in his own advancement. Like there's so many sadhus in the Himalayas and so many sadhus throughout India. But the Gostinandi is one who goes out to to help the conditioned souls. He's not satisfied with his own advancement. He wants to also help others advance in Krishna consciousness. And before Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan, so many devotees that were trying to convince him not to go. You're an old man, you know, may not be good for your health. Trying to convince him in so many ways. Prabhupada was so transcendental. He was so compassionate. And he said, no, I have this mission given by his spiritual master. The whole mood that we have in ISKCON actually came from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He told Prabhupada, if you get money, print books. He said, if you have life, then preach, distribute books. And one of his temples in India, in the temple room, was the printing press. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur knew that if the deity is seen, that books are being printed and knowledge of him is being distributed to the people, he'll be very happy. So the printing press was right in the temple room. You can hear it, the printing press working and everything. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very much into book distribution. If someone just went out and distributed a few pamphlets, he would be so pleased. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is a very grave person. Devotees were a little fearful of him, very, very grave, powerful. But if someone went out and distributed a few pamphlets, a few books, he would be very happy and very pleased. And he told the devotees that better we sell the marble in the temple and print books. Because the devotees, they got this big temple, Bagh Bazar, and they were fighting over the rules. Friction between them. So he said, we were very happy at Altadamba Road, going out and distributing books, paying a little rent. And now we have this big temple. Some years back, I went to this temple, Bagh Bazar. Actually, it was amazing just walking around it. I was remembering all of the things that he had said that disturbed him. They forgot about the preaching and there was so much friction. Just walking on the marble there that he said should be taken up and sold, and walking by the rooms that he said now they're just fighting over the rooms instead of preaching. So he was actually, Prabhupada said that he left early, only 63 years old when he left his body. He left because he was disgusted, because the preaching had dwindled so much. And shortly after he left, within a year, everything was finished. But Prabhupada said when he was leaving, he said, I'm not disgusted with you, I'm very pleased with you because the preaching is going nicely. There's cooperation. And he said that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with one another after I'm gone. So the best way to cooperate is cooperating in how to spread Krishna consciousness. If we're not distributing, if we're not preaching Krishna consciousness, it's not a movement anymore. We're not moving forward anymore. We're a stagnant society. In the beginning of our society, it was really a movement. You know, it was this. Prabhupada had people going all over the planet. In Denver, Colorado, one devotee was given a class at a university, and this devotee was just curious. He asked the students there, "How many Hare Krishnas do you think there are in Denver, Colorado?" And one person said 20,000. Another one said 35,000. 15,000. He didn't tell them how many there was, but there was only 40 devotees. Because Prabhupada had devotees just like, you know, even in Africa and all over the place. You know, Prabhupada was just so eager to get the message of Lord Chaitanya all around the world. So it was a real movement. But now, you know, it's become a little more settled down. You know. It's not near as much of a movement now. Books are still going out, but when Prabhupada was here, it was just like, it was an emergency. Prabhupada felt it like that. It was most needed. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said the only lack in society is Krishna consciousness. This is what is needed. And the best way to spread Krishna consciousness is to get the books in the people's homes. Because not only do they get a chance to read the books if the books are in their homes, but the books being in their homes is like having a deity in your home. Remember, they're deities. So we can't even fathom, we can't even come close to understanding how important book distribution is. Prabhupada said they just touch a book, they benefit. If they see a Sankirtan devotee, they benefit. The devotee that's going out on book distribution, he benefits. People receiving the books, they benefit. This purifies the whole atmosphere. Actually, the places where devotees are distributing books are like sacrificial arenas. It's like we have, what is your name, Guru? What is your name? Yes. Nilamadava Das. He sets up a table every day. Big table with many books. How many books? Like 60 books or something. Huh? So these places where he sets up books, these are all sacrificial arenas. Where the yajna of the age is being performed. Because this book distribution, it's also kirtan, Brihad Mardanga. They get a book. This has happened to me many times. People have gotten books from me in airports. I distributed books in airports for maybe 14 years. And people were getting books from me and they were just going all over the planet. And some of them were becoming devotees in other places around the world. So this is very interesting how he called that the Great Mardanga. I guess he envisioned that there would be a time when books are being, you know, received from one person in one place, but then the same book is going out into another country. Therefore, the Brihat Mardanga, the Great Mardanga. All over the world, people are hearing the holy name. You see, the Prabhupada, he was concerned before he left this world that will it continue? And therefore he asked Giriraj Swami, Giriraj Swami was sleeping, and he called him, called Giriraj. And Prabhupada said, intelligence and organization, these are the two ingredients in order for this to continue. So Prabhupada was concerned that this movement continued, that this movement continued spreading around the world. And it will. Actually, one time Prabhupada said that nothing can stop this movement because the books are out there. It's too late. The knowledge is out there. And just to give you an idea of this, I recently heard of one person who got a book in Russia. Somehow he got a book, maybe a library, somehow. He read the book and he was very impressed with what he read. And somewhere in the book he read that the most important thing is that this knowledge be distributed to others. I don't know, in one of those books that's there. So he thought, all right, this is very important knowledge, I'm going to do it. He had never met a devotee before. So he took the book that he had, he took it to a printer, and he had 100 books printed out somehow. He had them copied and printed somehow. And he was distributing books. And then at one point, there was a couple of Sankirtan devotees that were going through his town, and they saw him distributing these books. And they said, "Oh, Hari Baba, which town are you from?" And he said, "Temples. There's temples." And the devotees said, "Yeah, there's temples. You're distributing books. You don't know about temples." "No. I just found this book, I got this book, and it said that the most important thing is we should distribute these books, so I had some printed out, and I'm distributing. I don't know about temples." And this devotee's jaw just like hit the ground. You know? You can imagine, yeah. So they started, he had never met a devotee, and he's distributing books. So not only will this movement continue, but Sankirtan will continue. There was also in Boston, there was a devotee in Boston, Massachusetts. He found Prabhupada's books on the internet. And he got some books from the BBT, and he was also distributing. And he had also never met a devotee. So this movement's going to continue, with us or without us. I remember when I first joined him, and my Sankirtan leader, he said that we should have so much determination to distribute books that even if everybody in our society blues, we should have the determination to go and get the books printed and distribute them. And I was thinking, wow, that's pretty determined. I like that. Yeah, that's good. So actually, this is what Prabhupada had when he started. In his 60s, he's writing the books, he's having them printed, and he's distributing them. Amazing. Prabhupada's incredible. It's like such a great commander-in-chief. You know, there's the general, but then there's the commander-in-chief. He's the highest, so that's Prabhupada. The highest. That's great determination. So we don't have to write the books. We don't have to get them printed, except for Singish Prabhu, who's in charge of that. All we have to do is distribute them. We don't have to write them. We don't have to print them. Just distribute them. So easy. Just the books are here. Just get the books, go out, and distribute them. So we got it easy compared to Prabhupada. And it's, we can't even estimate how fortunate we are if we do this activity. Prabhupada has said that, that this society is in a very dark period. A very dark period. And therefore, he said we need many, many people to dedicate their life to the spreading of Krishna consciousness. And he's the example. He, right to the last, he was on his disappearance bed. And you could see, you've probably all seen the videos of his just, you know, speaking the last words of the Bhagavatam. And you could see those purports in the 10th canto. So nice. The last purports are just so nice. Prabhupada was so conscious. You look at his body, it's just all shriveled up, you know? So skinny. But he's just given such valuable knowledge right to the last breath. And there's many Sankirtan devotees on the planet right now that have told me that this is what they want to do. They want to distribute books right to their last breath until they just can't do it anymore. I was just in Australia and I was speaking to one book distributor. And I said that, I mentioned to them I was at one university and there was about 8 Christians there. And they were distributing books. But they were all between 65 and 80 years old. And I was so surprised to see that. But then I was thinking, Krishna has arranged this just to let me know that I can do it too. If they can do it, we can do it too. Right up to, you know, 80 years old. So I was speaking to this devotee in Australia. I said, yeah, we can do it. You know, just keep on distributing until we just can't do it anymore. We're 80 years old. And he said, why 80? 95. I said, yeah, that's the spirit. Because if you live a healthy life, yeah, why not? I remember I was distributing books in New Zealand, and I distributed a book to this one guy. He was 81 years old, and he looked so healthy, and he was moving around like he was like 50 years old. So healthy. So there's no reason why we can't distribute books. Prabhupada said you should utilize your youth to spread Krishna consciousness. So not only youth, but we should also use our middle age and our old age, and like Prabhupada did. Every moment of his life was dedicated to helping us. Because of Prabhupada, we're sitting here now. We have such a nice life. So we should feel grateful, gratitude. And he said the best way to show your gratitude is you preach. Distribute this knowledge to the people. So maybe I'll stop there. Is there any question or comment? Yes, Rahul.
So during distributing books, when we try to give a book to some people, but they are not interested, but somehow we are pushing them to get a book, but still they get agitated. What we should do? We just leave the place or somehow or go to give the book somehow rather to him, or what we should do?
The question is that sometimes we approach people and they're not interested. Should we keep trying to get them to take the book? Well, like I mentioned earlier, this material world people, they're not interested. They come here to try to enjoy, to forget God. So most people won't be interested. And if you try a little bit, you know, if they're not interested, you can just try a little bit. But if they still show no interest, then better just let them go. A very good friend of mine, Vaisheshika Prabhu, he gives the example of a mango on a tree. If you want to have a sweet mango, but the mangoes are green on the tree, what do? You leave it there. You don't touch it, right? And eventually, you get a nice, sweet mango. So some people are just not ready. Like that green mango, the people just aren't ready. So just leave them alone. Maybe in the future, they'll be ready. Maybe they'll be ripe. So therefore, we should always leave them with a good impression. If we try to put too much pressure, they might walk away with a bad impression. But if we're just gentlemen, you approach them, you try to get them to take a book in a nice way, in a Krishna conscious way, and they don't take, but you're still a gentleman, they may appreciate that. Prabhupada said that we should be known as perfect gentlemen. So a gentleman isn't too pushy usually. So we have to be very respectful. We should honor their desires, even though they're in mind. We can't push people. We've had in the past a bad reputation for that. Pushing too much, forcing them. So yeah, we have to be very conscientious. One of my mottos that I have on book distribution is everybody walk away with a good experience, whether they take a book or not. So this is what we want, people to walk away feeling that they've had a good experience. And then in the future, maybe they'll get it. But if they walk away with a bad experience, like I just received an email recently. One lady complained that one devotee, did you get that email yet? Did you get this? No? You got it? Yeah. One devotee approached this lady. He put four books in her hand and said, you know, this is on yoga meditation, we just asked for a donation. And she didn't have very much money, gave her, you know, a small donation. He took three back, all right, you keep that one there. And she was just so upset. So upset. Because he made it appear like it's for free. And then when she didn't give enough, took back the books. So this, we have the worst reputation for this. I was at a university one time with a book table. And one professor came and he said, oh, you're Hare Krishnas? I said, yeah. He said, oh yeah, you're the famous people that you give out the free books and then when they don't give a donation, you take the free book back. And this is a professor. This is our reputation. So from hearing that, I said, all right, we have to change this. So now when I travel around the world, I tell the boys, nah, don't do this. Don't do this. So I tell the boys, just do it like this. Just tell the people when you approach them, here, check out this book. Check it out. Checking it out means it's not free. Or here, we're showing these to everybody today. And it doesn't make any difference. This is how I distribute books now. I mean, I was also trained like that. Here, you get one, you know, we're passing these out in the beginning, making it seem like it's free. Because we're all young, you know, we're all, you know, we didn't know anything about, you know, proper etiquette, how to deal with people, and what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. I remember my Sangirtan leader, we were all so young and stupid, you know. My Sangirtan leader, he said, if anybody comes back and asks for money from you, they want their money back, just tell them that you don't have any, that there's somebody that comes by every hour and they takes their money. So I distributed one to a student, and the mother came by, you know, a little bit later, and the mother said, oh, you sold this book to my son, can I have the money back? I said, sorry, ma'am, somebody just came by. Every hour they come by and they take the money. It's terrible. So the lady said, oh, come on, give her the money. And finally one worker stood up and said, listen, buddy, give her the money. I said, oh, okay. So we were so young and so naive, so stupid, you know, so we were doing things like that. But now we've been around for a while, so we have to learn, you know, what's proper, what's improper. Yeah, because we want people to walk away with a good impression. We're representing Krishna. We're representing Srila Prabhupada. If people walk away with a bad impression, that means that they'll have bad feelings towards Prabhupada and Krishna and our society. So it's so important that we're conscientious of this. That, you know, actually, another one of the thing that I, another little motto that I have is that everybody walks away with a smile, whether they take a book or they don't. Everybody walks away like they've had a good feeling. So this is very important, and you feel better also. If we get too attached, see, this is the problem. If we get too attached to the result, we want to get a big result. Prabhupada mentions in one purport, he says that if one is too attached to the result of one's activities, then he must either suffer or enjoy the results of his action because he's thinking he's the doer. Very powerful statement there. We're all attached to the result. Prabhupada said two things go very deep in the heart. Attachment to the result and sex desire. These two go very deep in the heart. But when we go out on book distribution, at least we're there and we're dealing with this problem, you know, of attachment. we have to be detached. Somehow we have to learn to be attached to trying to please Krishna. And this activity of book distribution is very pleasing to Krishna. You can't lose. It's Krishna's soft spot. You understand the soft spot? Yeah? You have a very good friend and you know there's something that's very pleasing to that friend. And you do that, and it's a soft spot. You know he's going to be happy. So this is Krishna's soft spot. You know Krishna's going to be pleased if you go out on book distribution. And it's not easy, you know. But practice makes perfect. The more you practice, the better you get at it. If you don't practice, then it's always going to be hard. But if you practice, then you get better at it, and get better, and get better. Yes, Prabhu?
Referring to the lecture, many times when you listen to them, you tell them that this is, books is about environment, it's about yoga, and you sell them like that. And then when they go back, they don't think about environment, or they don't think about yoga.
Oh, no, we think about yoga in all the books, frankly. In all the books you find yoga quite a bit. May not be the yoga that they're looking for, Hatha yoga, but it is yoga, even in many of the chapters, you know, perfection of yoga, some books are even, you know, named perfection of yoga, or the yoga of the Supreme, so many, yeah, people find yoga all over, so that's okay, say yoga, meditation, that's also there, yeah, that's okay. Yes?
Distribution in the streets, but if you find that a certain place there is a good possibility of distribution of Bhagavatam, so but the style of distributing Bhagavatams may be different than that which we distribute these smaller books or which you carry on your shoulder. So if we have a sort of, we know that area is good, right place for Srimad Bhagavatam, because after a long time of distributing lots of these books, we know that it's time that, you know, we should concentrate on Srimad Bhagavatam. So what is the way by which we can tackle this? Like, you know, we could distribute a lot of Bhagavatam, but we are just doing it on the streets of small books. We like go, like get a practical method by which we...
You have Bhagavatam sets here?
We have a lot.
Oh?
Tamil and English.
Oh? Oh, okay. Well?
Right now what happens is when you distribute, somebody is interested, he gets the Bhagavatam. Not so necessarily that he's spoken to about the Bhagavatam.
I don't have much experience with selling full sets, but I have a little experience. What I do is I ask them, do you like to read? Just asking that simple thing, you know, if they're, obviously that would be Hindu. Yeah. Just ask them, do you like to read? If they say yes, well, we have some books for you, yeah. That works for me. I sold quite a few Bhagavatams at Rathyatras, just that little line to the Hindus. Do you like to read? Okay, we got some books for you. So it's kind of a simple way. But then, of course, you could explain, you know, if you have the books there, you show the pictures to them. This is the Bhagavad Purana, this is the Amala Purana, and this is like the spotless Purana, most important of, you know. It shouldn't be that difficult. Of course, they're expensive. How much is a full set?
We sell it for 1,000 ringgit.
1,000 ringgit, so they'd have to have money. That's quite good money.
But it's not really expensive compared to how much they pay for
Encyclopedia Britannica.
Encyclopedia, things like that. It costs them 3,000-5,000.
Yeah.
They pay.
So you have to get them attached to it. You have to. That, if you just get them attached to it, that's why Srila Prabhupada. He actually told the artists, our DBT artists, that you're the actual distributors. You're the actual book distributors, because people are attracted to art. And this is why Prabhupada very strategically put art in the books. When I distribute books, I always show them the pictures. And people are attracted. You could preach to the people about, you know,
but
the books.
Like us, they like our art.
They like our art. People love, people buy it. Many people buy books from me because they are very beautiful, very attractive. So the whole Bhagavatam, boy, you just bring out, you know, just bring out the artwork. People become very attached to it. Show them the Sanskrit and everything.
You think they should try, the distributors should try like that?
Yeah.
The technical effort, how the distributors do it, rather than if there's a chance to really get a compact stock to them.
Maybe we'll go out tomorrow and try to distribute some. I'm here one more day, maybe we'll try.
In those days we used to do the Bhagavatam. We used to make them members and give the Bhagavatam as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Make them like members and the Bhagavatam goes as a gift. But not all devotees are so tuned into this life membership. It's a little bit more complicated. But if you just look at it as a Bhagavatam sales thing, I think it would work. I think because we've been distributing a lot of books, many people got to know our books, they may be waiting. Because sometimes on the streets, you have all these books, I got this one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you don't have this one.
You don't have this. Walking to your house or something.
Is there places around here that are just like Indians?
There's a lot.
And like well to do?
Yes.
Yeah? Try it out. Good place to start, huh? Because the poor Indians are not going to be able to shell out of, how many, 1,000 ringgits? That's a lot of money for people that's not well-to-do. They'd have to be kind of well-to-do.
Give installments.
Oh yeah, also 100 a month or something.
Something, yeah, it's possible. It's possible to give installments.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai.
Vijay Prabhu Ki
Jai.